Hello.
This is episode number 24 of the Tampa 2 podcast. My name is Terry.
And I'm Leo.
And we get started, as always, you're no stranger to it by now, the Tampa in 2.
The Tampa in 2.
So, as it seems like everyone's season's just getting started. We got the NBA and the NHL preview or playoffs going. Mm-hmm. Sadly, our local teams have stopped. We're done for the season. Yeah. Magic, we're done. There's really nothing to say about it. No. We're awful. We'll just hope and pray we do better next year.
Get a good draft pick.
Right. And then Lightning, we got a third pick in the draft. We did not do as well as the start of our season. I mean, man, I remember watching those first two games, and it was just like, oh, we're going to the playoffs. But, yeah, it was rather pathetic. But on the bright side of things, as we always try to do here, Marty St. Louis captures the NHL scoring title, which is quite amazing. He's the oldest guy. I think 37, I believe.
Something like that, yeah.
And Stamkos is number two. I mean, Stamkos was leading it for almost ever. I mean, the entire time.
Yeah.
But with the injury that he sustained to his left knee, kind of kept him out of a few games in April, and St. Louis was able to sweep in and get it.
Yeah, Marty definitely kind of carried the team through the worst part of the season. Stamkos was the part of the reason they were so good at the start, but St. Louis was more consistent throughout.
Yeah.
But it is cool to have number one and number two, but it just goes to show that the problem with this team is definitely on defense.
Yes, I think we ranked third in offense, so we know we're good there, but we were like 26th in defense.
Yeah.
So, John, I think you know what we need to do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Leo, how about some Rays news?
Well, there was supposed to be a game today in Kansas City, but it's about 35 and rain/snowing.
Oof.
So there's not going to be a game today.
Not going to try that.
So since the last podcast, which was a couple weeks ago, we kind of got sidetracked by the NFL draft because I had to cover that for the Peter Point. We'll get to that in a bit. The Rays have gone 7-5. Which is better than it was at the start.
Mm-hmm.
The pitching has been what's been letting us down in these losses lately, not the hitting. At first it was the hitting, now it's the pitching. Eventually it's all going to come together, but over the past couple nights, the pitchers have started off well and then just all of a sudden just imploded, and it's just been really weird to see. But part of that's Kansas City, that they're not actually a bad team as much as, you know, they're not a team you think of historically as being very good.
But right.
So, yeah, they've got some time to turn it around. The AL East is going to be pretty close all year. So, no red flags yet.
Yeah. All right, well, how about some Bucks news?
The great Warren Sapp is obviously going to the Hall of Fame. I'm pretty sure we mentioned that, but if not, surprise, Warren Sapp's going to the
Hall of Fame. Yeah, just in case you've, you know, been under a rock or anything.
But that's not the only honor he's getting this season. He'll also be added to the Buccaneers Ring of Honor, which is basically the team's Hall of Fame. It's the players' names who are up on the second deck of Raymond James Stadium. And his number 99 jersey will also be retired. There will be no one else in Buccaneers history who will wear number 99 unless Warren says that they can. And knowing Warren, I don't think he's going to let anybody else wear that.
Yeah.
So, so congrats to Warren again. They're going to honor him on the Bucks Monday Night Football game, because the Bucks will be hosting a Monday Night Football game.
Woo! We get one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which will be pretty cool. So, and we'll talk more about the schedule and the Bucks and everything in our first segment here.
Yeah. Really quick, though, talking about Warren Sapp, my wife and I were talking about that, because she actually told me she heard the news of Warren getting added to the Ring of Honor and all that kind of stuff, his jersey being retired. And we were just talking about, well, now it's just him and Leroy Selman, right? I mean, those are the only two guys.
And they're in the Hall of Fame. In the Ring of Honor, there are a couple other guys.
Oh, okay. Well, but anyway, either way, I mean, these are the two most well-known guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we were talking about, well, who's going to be the next one? I mean, there's really no one. We were, first of all, Barber came to mind.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how he couldn't be added, but I mean,
oh yeah, he's
as soon as he gets out, I mean, he's
almost
a shoo-in for that. But then Helene also brought up Derrick Brooks.
Definitely.
So, I mean,
I think Derrick Brooks is going to be the next one into the Hall of Fame. Because he's already retired. It takes 5 years after you retire.
Right.
I think he was eligible this year, but just barely missed out. Sapp was more dominant at his position.
Right. I mean, he was definitely, you know, a huge presence for the defense of that year. I mean, yeah. There's no... And just his presence in general.
Yeah.
I mean...
He did things at the defensive tackle position that really no one else has ever done, except for John Randall, who, you know, is also, you know, a shoe-in Hall of Famer and definitely a big-time player. So, Brooks is next. I don't think Lynch will be in the NFL Hall of Fame, but he may go in the Ring of Honor.
Sure.
Well,
Allstott.
Allstott, definitely not the NFL Hall of Fame.
Right. I mean...
But, yeah, I mean, considering the guys who are already in there... You know, I think that there's a good shot that he'll make it. I also think that they'll probably put Dungy in there because they already have John McKay.
Okay, right. Yeah.
First coach. And then, yeah, Barber in 5 or 6 years. I mean, if he plays this year, it'll probably be 6 or 7 years from now. But I think he's a shoe. And I think he's also going to make the Hall of Fame.
Oh, for sure.
Some people think it's borderline, but, you know, he's... There's no like glaring problems with him, and his statistics are pretty solid.
So. Right. Yeah. I mean, he's always been a very consistent player. Okay. Well, let's talk about the draft. Leo, I mean, give us an overarching preview or a sum up, excuse me, of the NFL draft. For those that may not have watched it, what were some of the big headlines? And then we'll talk more about the Bucks and specifically what they did.
Sure. I mean, we had mentioned, you know, we had mentioned that offensive linemen were kind of going to be the focus, and that turned out to be the case. Three of the top four picks were offensive tackles. Eric Fisher, Luke Jokel, and Lane Johnson, all the guys that I'd mentioned. They went off the board 1, 2, 3 to the Chiefs, Jaguars, and Eagles. And then the other two top five picks were both defensive ends, Deion Jordan and Ezekiel Ansah, who were both basically just get after the quarterback specialists. So it became very apparent that what was important was protecting the quarterback and getting after the quarterback, because that's what the first few picks were. In fact, all of the top seven picks were either offensive or defensive linemen, which also kind of goes to show this draft wasn't really deep in all the other positions. a quarterback didn't go until number 16, and it was actually E.J. Manuel.
Oof, yeah.
And not Geno Smith, and not Matt Barkley, and not Ryan Nassib. The Bills had basically fooled everyone into thinking they were going to take Nassib.
Right.
And Nassib didn't wind up going until, like, the fourth round, and he got picked by the Giants. So now he gets to sit behind Eli Manning rather than starting for the Bills. So he took a big downgrade. I mean, he's not going to play, so he's going to get an easier job. But
right, but it's kind of like how you look at... Like, I don't know, if I were a quarterback in the draft and I knew I wasn't a Cam Newton or something... Like, I was very aware of my skills, and I knew I had a lot to learn... I would almost be grateful to be taken by someone, you know, being behind a Peyton or an Aaron Rodgers or something like that to learn from.
Yeah. At the same time, though, you're only as good as the contract that you're currently on, and you're not going to get a big second contract just by sitting behind someone. Like, E.J. Manuel's going to go out there and have a chance to prove himself good enough to get a big contract. Whereas Ryan Nassib, if he just sits behind Eli Manning for 4 years, his next contract will be decent. But it's not going to be anywhere near, you know, what it could be if he was able to prove himself. So it's risk reward. It's gambling on yourself. So,
sure.
But so then, yeah, the Bucs didn't have a first round pick because theirs went to the Jets, and the Jets went with two defensive players with their first two picks, and passed up on all the quarterbacks. Didn't take wide receiver. They were okay with what they had. So
but we talked about Geno, and Geno ended up going to the Jets.
Yes, in the second round.
And it makes you wonder. I mean, when I saw that, to me, it almost seemed like, well, we know Geno's still going to be around, or did they just really think, no, we our first two picks, we got to pick defensive guys? I mean, what do you think their logic was behind that?
I don't know. Honestly, the Jets are
insane.
They're maybe one of the most poorly run franchises. They recently changed GMs, and the GM used to work with the Bucks, I think. It's John Idzik, and I know he's worked with Mark Dominic before, and I'm pretty sure the only place Mark Dominic has worked is with the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't understand it. They took Dee Milliner, who was arguably the best cornerback in the draft, and that's fine. You're replacing Darrell Revis, and then their other pick was Sheldon Richardson, who's a defensive tackle, who could maybe play defensive end, but they play a 3-4 defense. And even though they might be moving away from that, I'm not entirely sure. But he's just not a guy that, like, screams out, like, team-changing player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's at his very best. If he turns out to be as good as he possibly can be, he's maybe, like, Warren Sapp light. So, I don't get it. And, yeah, I mean, they didn't pass up on any, like, obvious players. But it kind of goes back to why they wanted this first-round pick from the Bucks in the first place. Because they knew no one was going to be there.
Right.
But I guess for the fans, for PR, they didn't want to, like, trade future first-round picks. You know, because next year's draft is going to be better. And they didn't want picks that year. I don't really know why. I honestly, the Jets confused me. But,
yeah,
hey, I mean, I'll take it as the Bucks.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, particularly with D. Like, when I saw D going, I mean, I was like, oh, my gosh, that guy has so much pressure already on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Because you know from day one that he's going to be put up against Darrell,
yeah,
and that if he doesn't show up his first day, maybe give him one day, maybe two, but if he doesn't show up in the first couple games, he's going to be booed out of the stadium.
Yeah, and that's really the problem is, even on ESPN's draft promo stuff, they had Mel Kiper saying, you know, D. Milliner, is he the next Darrell Revis?
Right.
And that's setting up completely unreal. He doesn't even believe that.
Right.
Like, D. Milliner at his best is, you know, a better version of Sean Smith, you know, or something like that. And that's not what anybody wants to hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what sells tickets. That's not what people watch the draft for.
Right.
But that's really what he is. He's not.
Yeah. And the fact that he went to the Jets.
Yes.
I mean, of all the places he could have gone to, he got chosen by the Jets. And the fact that he's already being hyped as an Darrell Revis, it just.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no way. That guy is going to go through so much turmoil. Unless he shows up. I mean, if he does great, then good for him.
Yeah,
absolutely. But that's a lot of pressure to put on a guy.
Absolutely.
So, all right. So we've been kind of hinting at it for those that may not have known.
Yes.
If they haven't turned on ESPN for a second, or even the news for that matter, the Bucks were able to acquire Darrell Revis, giving up their first round 13th pick,
yes,
and then a conditional fourth round pick for next year.
Yes.
So. That's huge for us. I mean, we kind of talked about it in earlier episodes. Is it going to happen? Do we want it to happen? And it finally did. So, Leo, kind of tell us, what's the buzz going on? What do we expect from him now?
I mean, he's coming off an ACL injury, and that's the only thing that brings any sort of pause to this whole situation, because otherwise it's a fantastic thing for the Bucks. Because he's the best cornerback in the league, and he may be the best defensive player in the league. The ACL injury rehab seems to be going well. You never know 100% until they're back out on the field, but by the time the season starts, he's going to be at about 11 months removed from it. And, you know, he's been working hard. You know, there were clips of him, you know, doing different workouts, you know, with resistance training on the knees and stuff. And, you know, he's obviously back to doing almost football-like things. So I wouldn't be too concerned. But, you know, it's going to be one of those things where you're kind of questioning until you finally see him on the field. But if he is out on the field, it completely changes the Buccaneers defense from being, you know, one of the worst against the pass to honestly instantly being in the top half against the pass just by adding him, because he is just absolutely a dominant player. Like, just for perspective, going to, you know, stat nerd out a little bit.
Yeah.
In his very first game this past season, and, you know, he wound up getting injured during the season. It was against the Bills in New York, and the ball was thrown to the guy he was covering 7 times, and he only allowed 2 catches for 14 yards and had an interception that he returned for a touchdown. I mean, that's just kind of what he does. Like, you don't throw to him because nothing's going to happen when you do.
Right.
And there's other really good corners who don't quite do the same thing. And it's just, imagine that in an NFL defense, and I don't want to get too nerdy with, like, the breakdown of it, but that the safeties are, like, the cloud behind that helps to, you know, prevent people from getting past the defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with normal cornerbacks, you've got safeties on each side that are helping out.
Right.
With Revis, you leave one side of the field completely open, and you just say, if you're going to try and get by Revis, go ahead.
I mean, that's why they call it Revis Island.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly. And so it's just going to shift the Buccaneers defense so much, because now it means Mark Barron doesn't have to play deep because he would normally be the guy on Revis's side.
Mm-hmm.
And newly acquired Deshaun Goldston can be deep, and he can focus on helping out Eric Wright, who's going to be back and who isn't necessarily, you know, the best. But if Eric Wright knows that he's got help behind him that's focused on helping him, it makes him better. So this makes Revis better, this makes Barron better, this makes Goldston better, this makes Wright better, and this makes the Bucks' first pick, which is a second-round pick, Jonathan Banks, it makes him better as a cornerback. So it's just, it's a chain effect that, and I wrote about this on the Pewter Plank, that Antonio Cromartie of the Chargers and then the Jets, when he went to join Revis, he went from being like a top 40 corner in terms of statistics before playing with Revis to being in the top five with Revis. Just because when you know that you're going to be the guy targeted and you can be a little more aggressive because you've got help behind you, it just changes the way you play as a corner.
Right.
And the Bucks last year, the corners had no idea if they were going to get help. Because Ahmad Black and or Mark Barron as a rookie, they weren't cutting it as safeties, and neither corner was dominant enough to say, okay, you can do this on your own. So
right. I mean, this is going to completely change the Bucks. I mean, the biggest thing that killed us last year was defense, secondary defense.
Yeah.
And so getting, I mean, think about it on all levels, not just football stuff, but even ticket sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, jersey sales.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine there's going to be one blacked out game. I mean,
I don't know if I'd go that far just yet, particularly because if things don't go well at
first.
Well,
yeah, but, okay. Assuming he's healthy.
But, I mean, yeah, it's definitely going, it's going to bring about winning if he's healthy. And then winning brings about all the rest of that stuff. Because really ultimately what it comes down to is, winning teams have huge fan bases, and gone are the days in the NFL where just by having a team, you have a sold out stadium.
Right.
So now you actually have to win, and the teams that struggle to fill the stadiums. I mean, I'm pretty sure that like the Bengals are the only team that struggle to fill the stadium and still win every once in a while. I just feel like with the Bucks that we've been close to where we need to be. And yeah, this should put us over the top because we should win more, but I wouldn't quite say that there would be no blacked out games, but it, with being in prime time more often and, you know, having Revis on the team, I think it'll definitely be reduced. But that said, you know.
Well, what about our QB position? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the concern. Other thing. That's the concern.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, you definitely see a lot of number five Josh Freeman jerseys, but they also went out and they drafted a quarterback in the third round of the draft. It was their second pick. They took Mike Glennon out of North Carolina State. And stop me if you've heard this one before. Mike Glennon is tall. He's strong. He's got a really strong arm, but sometimes he doesn't throw off of the right foot. And sometimes he makes bad throws that are like way over his receiver's head. And sometimes he just throws it right at a defensive back because he hasn't read the play right. Does that remind you of it? Oh yeah, that reminds you of Josh Freeman.
So you're not, so are you hopeful with him?
Yeah, I mean, no, because here's the thing is you're not going to get a guy out of college who's completely ready to step into the NFL with a third round pick or a second round pick, or most of the time with a first round pick,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's no Andrew Lucks out there. And even Andrew Luck had like 20 something interceptions,
right.
And there's not that many RG3s out there. And there's not, you know, Russell Wilson was a total, you know,
freak.
Yeah, that just absolutely crazy. But this is a situation where the Bucks are drafting a guy who has the tools that are needed, but doesn't quite have the mental aspect all put together. And to be honest, he had no help at North Carolina State. Russell Wilson played at North Carolina State before transferring to Wisconsin, and he put up very similar numbers to what Glennon did, because there's just not a lot of talent there.
Sure.
He's not getting blocked for. Literally about 10% of his passes are dropped by his wide receivers. Like, he's putting the ball just right on their hands. Like, it's not even like they don't have to reach up. They don't have to reach out. It's just right there, and they just don't catch it. So I'm hopeful for him, but it's one of those things where I hope it doesn't have to come to us using him anytime soon.
Right.
Because ideally, Josh Freeman is the quarterback for the future, because what you get Glennon for is to hope he uses his tools and develops into a better mental quarterback. And that's the same thing you're hoping with Josh, and we've seen that. Last year he did have those few games where he struggled, but you know, putting it into perspective, the entire offensive line was just in shambles in front of him. And, you know, Doug Martin had kind of slowed down at that point in the season a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense was putting him into bad situations where, right. where the other team knew he had to throw.
He kept up, but then it got to a point where he could only do so much.
Exactly.
You got to have your defense compensate.
So, I mean, and Freeman had some very good games there for a stretch. And he knows that he's capable. And he's got some continuity this year. You know, he's going into a season where he's going to have the same offensive core around him. He's going to have the same offensive coordinator. He's going to have the same head coach. You know, everything's going to be the same. So he's going to be ready, you know, and more prepared. So I'm hopeful for him. But if not, you know, his contract's over at the end of the year, Freeman says.
Hmm.
So if he doesn't pan out, you've got a guy ready that you're going to have a year in the system. He may be able to step in. And, you know, really, Freeman's going to come back if the team does well at all. So the only reason that Freeman doesn't come back is if we're bad enough to where we have a high enough pick next year that we'll be able to take maybe Johnny Manziel, maybe Teddy Bridgewater from Louisville, who I personally would prefer over Manziel. But, you know, ultimately it comes down to what the scouts see. But, you know, there's definitely some talented quarterbacks next year. Aaron Murray from Georgia. There's a couple others. If he has a really good year, even Jeff Driscoll from Florida could declare himself eligible, which would be interesting because I think that he's kind of Josh Freeman-like in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting
kind of falls
to see.
Apart and
yeah.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah, but he's still athletic and all that stuff. But
sure.
Anyway, it's way too early to speculate on that, but that's kind of the possibility is that you've got a guy in Glennon who can do all the same things. Because, you know, Bucks fans were like, well, why didn't you take Matt Barkley? Why didn't you take so-and-so? Because they can't make the same throws that Glennon can. Glennon has a rocket of an arm, and every single pass is a perfect spiral. Like, I love Tim Tebow, but you know when Tim Tebow throws the ball sometimes, it's a waddling duck.
Right.
Every single pass that Mike Glennon throws is like the faked for TV perfect spiral that Uncle Rico throws over the mountains. Like, it's just, it's perfect. And so that's the thing that you see with him is you see, okay, well, we don't have to start him right away. We're not the Jets. Mm-hmm. We don't have to throw him out there to the wolves from day one. So let's develop him. Let's see if he pans out. And if Josh is our quarterback for the long term, we just trade him to somebody and get a third round pick and we didn't lose anything.
Yeah, so. No, definitely. I think we're in a pretty good situation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think definitely going into this season, it's going to be, all eyes are going to be on the Jets and on Tampa Bay, you know, to see how Revis pans out and then to see what the quarterback situation is like in New York. So mm-hmm. It'll be a really fun season for sure. I think, you know, a lot of interesting things going on. So, all right, well, let's move on to playoffs. Like we mentioned in Tampa 2, it seems like everyone's in the playoffs except for us in Southwest Florida. But we gotta, you know, feel obligated to talk about it. So let's talk about some of the big NBA headlines. I think one of the biggest ones, but it kind of died down thankfully, is the whole Lakers situation. Lakers got swept by the
Good
Spurs.
Riddance.
Good riddance. Well, I mean, it was just such a disastrous season.
Yeah, and now all the focus is on Dwight Howard and him, his whole drama for this offseason. But I'm glad that we can at least focus on some basketball for a while before having to get back to him changing his mind 15 times about what he wants to do next year. Because he's out of contract, so he gets to do whatever he wants.
Right.
And that really means on any given day, he may choose something else. So
I know we're talking about the playoffs, but I just, really quick, what do you think he's going to do? I just don't think I know a lot of people are saying he's going to stay in LA because of the money or, you know, the area or something like that, but he wants to be the guy.
Yeah, I don't, honestly, I could see him, I could see a situation working out where he winds up with the Rockets. I could see a situation where he winds up with the 76ers. Because I don't really see a contending team that'll have the space to get him, except for maybe like the Hawks, which would be really tempting for him because he's from Atlanta.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, it may come down to a situation where there's literally no other team out there that, you know, is really going to be appealing to him but the Lakers. And, you know, that may be the way they go. I don't like him anymore. He's ground me down so that I don't really, you know, I don't really appreciate what he can do anymore. But if he's able to get back to his old self, I think it would be really fun to have him with the Clippers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I think that would be a really good fit. The only problem is then that there is a little bit of conflict between him and Blake for, you know, who's getting rebounds. But
sure.
And then another place that I'd really like to see him that I think would be pretty fun would be with Thunder. I don't think there's any way that they can swing it.
Right.
But you'd have a point guard, a small forward, and a center, which is kind of like really good balance for your team. But like I said, I don't think there's any way that they can do that. Right. And I don't think that they'd want to.
No, I don't think they would either.
They like to have, you know, high character guys and guys that, you know, they may be a little fun off the court, but they're not stupid, huge distractions like Dwight is.
Yeah. So. Well, anyway, okay. So I just wanted to get your input on that. So the Lakers got swept, Spurs moving on. And who was the other team? Refresh my memory. I'm sorry.
That's already swept?
Yeah.
The Heat.
The Heat. That's right. The Heat and the Bucks. So that was that. It just seemed like it was like, okay, yeah, they're going to beat the Bucks, and that was it. You really didn't hear much about that. I mean, you heard about the Lakers. You heard about the Knicks and the Celtics, which we'll talk about here in a second.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Heat are kind of, again, like I mentioned a couple weeks ago, they're just on this freight train of they're going to win it. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone's disputing at this point.
They're resting guys in the playoffs. Like, yeah. They're sitting guys out because they're sore. Like, they're just coasting right now. The four games against the Bucks is just like the regular season for them. They're not going to have to start carrying until the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe. So, right. Particularly because, you know, the rest of the Eastern Conference is battling right now just to advance, and they just had a breeze of a series.
So. Right. So, what are some of the other big headlines?
Well, I talked about the Thunder, and they went up 3-0 in their series against the Rockets, and then they lost their point guard, Russell Westbrook, to a knee injury. And since then, you know, they've lost two games in a row, and now it's 3-2 for the Rockets, and the next game's in Houston. So this series has definitely turned on its head, and a lot of it's because Westbrook isn't there anymore. It forces Durant to have to be more selfish, and it also puts Reggie Jackson as the backup point guard on the floor, and there have been times where he's just not been giving Kevin Durant the ball. And that's not what you want to see, because with this version of the Thunder, it has to be all Kevin Durant all the time.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's not what it's been. Unfortunately, you know, Westbrook not being there has also taken away from Serge Ibaka. It's taken away from Kevin Martin. It just made the whole team a little worse. And it really, you know, kind of opened my eyes, because I've never been the biggest fan of Russell Westbrook, but I started to come around to him, and this kind of confirms that he's really important to that team. And it's just really unfortunate, because I don't think that they're going to be able to advance in the playoffs if he's not back. And by all indications, he had to have, you know, a surgery to repair. It was like his patella tendon or something, or meniscus. I don't even know.
I heard it was season ending.
Yeah. So because there have been guys who've come back from that injury earlier, but I don't think that they had surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the thing, is that the fact that it required surgery is that it was severe enough. So, you know, that's definitely unfortunate. And then another series that went 3-0 and then has started to come back is the Knicks and Celtics that we were mentioning. The Knicks went up 3-0 and then the Celtics, you know, won two in a row. And that series, you know, is going to a sixth game.
At Boston. Yeah.
So a lot of intrigue there.
And then a lot of trash talk along with it.
The Knicks showing up in black because having a funeral. And yeah, I mean, The Celtics already have some of the stupidest/best trash talkers. Jason Terry, Kevin Garnett, very outspoken guys. Rajon Rondo, when he's, you know, he's not the smartest guy, but he can get in your face and annoy you a little bit.
Right.
That series is, I can't really even get excited about it because I don't like either team, and they're going to lose to the Heat eventually. So
it's almost like, why bother?
Yeah, like the West is intriguing, especially now that the Thunder aren't good, because now it's wide open. Anybody could win it, but the East is just, it's a
lock. I mean,
yeah, it's line up and get beat by the Heat is really all it is.
Yeah, so. For sure. So, I mean, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, the two, like we mentioned, kind of the more exciting games are, you know, Boston and New York, and then OKC Houston. So
yeah, I mean the Clippers and Memphis, and we'll talk about that a little later. That's going to be interesting because the team that wins that has a chance to make some noise in the division because they're going to get the chance to play the winner of Thunder's Rockets next, and that'll be a weakened team that they're going up against. So it kind of opens the West up to where, you know, if a team can get on a roll, that might be the only chance that the Heat lose. So
sure, definitely. And then finally, the NHL playoffs just kicked off. Again, one of the bigger headlines is that Crosby's not playing for Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's favored to take it. I mean, by all accounts, at least be in the finals.
Yeah. I mean, they lost Crosby, but they had just picked up Ginla a couple days before. It's like they just can't lose. You know, they lose one awesome goal scorer, they gain another. They've still got Malkin. They've still got all the other great guys on that team. So, and yeah, they're already up 1-0 on the poor, helpless Islanders. So,
oh, yeah, that's so sad. So, I mean, but is there anything else really going on with that? I mean, there's not a whole lot of noise right now. Not as so much with the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the, and we're going to pick the next game in this series, but you've got the Sharks getting an upset over the Canucks in the first round, but it's not a huge upset. This isn't like earth shattering.
No, not at all.
And you've got the Kings off to a being down 1-0. They were the Cinderella team last year, obviously. But you know, there's really nothing. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, but mm-hmm. We're going to predict one of these games later. But I mean,
it's really hard to tell right now.
Yeah, the NHL doesn't really have. They've done such a great job, and it's not necessarily a great thing for the sport, but they've done such a great job of changing it from where it used to be Red Wings, Red Wings, Red Wings all the time, to now there's just such parity in the league that you really don't know.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see, because the Blackhawks were dominant for stretches of this season, and the Penguins were dominant for stretches of the season, but those are almost never the teams that make it in the playoffs for whatever reason, you know, because it comes down to goaltending, it comes down to different things, just like in the NBA. It comes down to different things in the postseason. So it'll be interesting. We'll be predicting the game. We'll be kind of keeping up with it. But, you know, yeah, it's not compelling to watch because there's not one team that you're, like, drawn to watch in the NHL right now.
Right, yeah.
Because if the Penguins had Crosby, and they had Crosby, and they had Ginla, and they had Malkin, and they had all those guys, that would be more fun to watch. But without them, you know, and it would be fun to watch the Bolts. But
of course. It's always fun to watch them.
Yeah.
Although I have to admit, I kind of trailed off halfway.
Well, yeah, it got frustrating there.
It just was like, why are you guys losing? But I mean, we know why they're losing. Yes. But anyway, but speaking of the Kings, did you see that horrendous goal move? Not even a move. It was a power play, mm-hmm. and I don't remember the goalkeeper's name, but he goes back to, they had cleared it away, and the goalkeeper goes back to scoop it up and shove it off to one of his players. And I can't remember, who are they playing right now? The Canucks.
The Kings?
Or no, the Kings. Yeah,
they're playing the Blues.
The Blues, excuse me. One of the Blues players comes in and just kind of intercepts it from him and just throws it right in there. And,
yeah.
I mean, now they're up 2-1 or something like that. Yeah. It was pathetic. Yeah. I mean, so that's probably more headline than anything else.
Yeah,
but
sure.
So anyway, got NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. That will tie right into our last segment, which will be predictions. So, Leo, I presume you're probably much happier this week.
Yeah, prediction time's good this week.
Yeah, it's good. It's good for you.
I'm good with prediction time.
All right, so let's. I will go quickly for my own sake.
Okay.
Two weeks ago, we predicted three NBA playoff games. They're all game one of the series, and we were all doing it by the spread because we just assumed that these teams were going to win, and so we were just going to pick against the spread. So the first game was Boston versus New York. The spread was by 7.5 points. And Leo, you'd predict this Knicks to cover the spread, even though you said...
Or Boston to cover the spread.
Yeah, Boston covered the spread, excuse me. And so they did so. I predicted the Knicks to go up. And so you got a W for that one. And, you know, I'm off to a rough start.
Just barely. I barely squeaked under that one.
Yeah, you really did. but anyway, so why don't you go ahead and take the next one then?
Yeah, the next one was the Clippers and Grizzlies. The Clippers were favored by 21 in the first game. They won by 21 in the first game. They were only favored by 4.5.
Yeah, they destroyed
Memphis. You had predicted a closer game than that. I had predicted not quite a 21-point win. I had predicted a 9-point win. So because I picked the Clippers to, you know, get the win against the spread, I got the win there as well. But like I said, I was still admittedly off on the point range there because they definitely came out in game one and made a statement.
Oh, yeah.
And then game three is your favorite Lakers. We get to bring them up one more time.
Not my favorite.
Taking on the Spurs.
Are you kidding me?
The Spurs were favored by 8.5. And, you know, you kind of thought, well, you know, the Lakers have been playing good. Maybe they'll keep this close. So you could say,
yeah,
the Lakers will cover
really
the spread.
I really thought so.
I said, no, the Spurs are going to win by 32.
32, man.
And I was a little high on that, but, you know, the Spurs won handily. They won by 12. It was never close. The Lakers only scored 79 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was kind of ugly on their part. So, but if I'm right, I think that was three wins for me.
Yes, that was. And that was three losses for me.
But we could check with Hal to be sure.
All right. Hal, why don't you recap us on total scores, please?
Terry is still in the lead with a .500 average, 35 wins to 35 losses. Leo has caught up with his three correct guesses and now has a win-loss record of 34 to 36.
So, you know, like I said, any given week, and you know what? You pulled it out, so now you're closing the gap a little bit. I'm back to an even 500, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So,
I'm below it. But hopefully this week.
Yes, this week. Above it, All right. So, first game, we're going to do the same as a couple weeks ago. Knicks at the Celtics, game 6. This is kind of like a big, you know, is this where the Knicks can finally close it off, or will Boston continue to rally? And so we're going to continue to do the spread again. The Knicks are favored by 2.5 points.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make it a little interesting. I'm going to say Boston is going to win this.
Okay.
All right. So, just by default there.
Yeah, you're picking, you know, Boston, yeah, to beat the spread because you're
spread.
Picking them,
yeah,
to win.
I'm going to pick them to win. But I'll say Boston, I don't know. I don't know. It's kind of been all over the place. I mean, the Knicks are leading points right now. I'll say Boston 98 to the Knicks. I don't think it's going to be that close. I'll say the Knicks to 90.
Okay.
So what do you think,
Liam? I'm gonna go with the Celtics to cover. But I don't think that they'll win. I think the Knicks will win by one. I'll go 101 to 100 Knicks.
All right.
But we're still picking the same thing.
Right.
It's just I'm just actually picking the Knicks to win. So this comes into the bonus points where if we get the score exactly right.
Right.
If one of us
right.
gets the score exactly right.
Yeah, definitely. All right, and then the second NBA game that we're going to be picking will be the Clippers at the Grizzlies. Again, another game 6. Everyone thought the Clippers would dominate through this, but the Grizzlies are favored by 4.5 points.
Yes.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But Leah, what do you think is
going to
happen?
I'm going with the Grizzlies to close it out at home. So I'm going to say that. And I'll say they'll get it by more than 4.5. I'll say they'll just barely squeak it out. They'll get it by 5. So I'll say 103 to 98.
All right. Well, that'll be a good game to watch. I'm going to say, oh, gosh. I don't know. Maybe Memphis has figured out the Clippers a little bit. I don't know. And they're at home. I'll agree with you, but I'm going to go ahead and just say it's going to be a closer game. I'm going to go ahead and say Memphis 100 to LA's 99.
Okay.
Maybe a final buzzer beater, perhaps.
Sure. So then basically you're kind of picking the Clippers to
right.
beat the spread.
Though. Right.
Okay. So there's a little difference there. And then our last game, like we mentioned earlier, is going to be an NHL playoff game. We're picking the San Jose Sharks at the Vancouver Canucks, which there's been a lot of talk recently about the Redskins changing their name for racial reasons, but why don't the Canucks come under any fire?
Because they're in Canada. I mean,
I know, but like
it's not offending Americans.
Well, no, I know, but it's not.
But
I don't know. Like it almost seems it seems a little weird, but I guess it's maybe more of an endearing term. I know it's not like derogatory.
Right.
Like, you're not gonna call someone a Canuck and it be like an insulting thing, but it's just kind of weird to me. But like there's multiple teams like that because the Canadiens also go
mm-hmm.
they're called the Canadiens and they're also called the Habs for Les Habitants.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, it'd be know, like
they're all about that up there. Like I guess the Patriots are the main
right yeah
analog
it's like,
in American
Patriots.
Sports.
Well, it's like, well, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I guess
whereas
that's
the,
true
whereas
Canucks
the Reds
is just a weird one.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the Redskins is kind of like
totally different.
Yeah, you're talking about a whole different people group. You're talking about kind of an ugly history there.
Yeah,
and, so,
and just the word like that. Just that phrase just doesn't hold up anymore. Like Braves is one thing.
Seminoles,
Chiefs. Well, Seminoles is great because the Seminoles actually support that.
Right. Yeah. So,
but anyway, we can get into that some other time.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, Sharks and Canucks.
Okay,
it's going to be in Vancouver. Game two. Sharks lead the series 1-0, though. They took the first game. And there's no spread here. No spread in hockey games.
Right.
Yeah. It's point. It would be 0.5. It wouldn't matter. So,
yeah.
And there's no ties because it's the playoffs, obviously. And there's no ties anyway. So, who you got, Terry?
I got the Canucks. I got to go with them. And they're just so strong at home. So, I'm going to go ahead and say Canucks 3-2.
Okay. Yeah. I can't pick against the Canucks at home in the playoffs. I just can't do it. So I'm going to go with them as well. But I'll go with a higher scoring game just to try and get some bonus points. I'll go 5-3.
5-3. All yeah. Right. Okay. Well, I think that does it. We'll see what happens next week, I guess.
Yeah.
And we will be on next week. I know we've been kind of all over the place. And
yeah, I mean, you know, the life NFL kinda, draft was...
The draft. And sometimes life kind of comes at you, you know. This isn't our job, so...
Yeah.
You know, but we love doing it, and we hope you guys enjoy listening to it. So, yeah, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, check us out on Stitcher. We're now on Stitcher.
Yes, Stitcher, definitely.
So go to Stitcher.com, search for Tampa 2 Podcast, share that link with your friends. There's an app. You can get that on your app on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't have, you know, iTunes or whatever on your phone, or you think that the iTunes podcast thing stinks because it does, get Stitcher. It's awesome because what Stitcher does is it helps us get noticed better because it really takes the people who listen to it and it kind of uses that information to share it with other people. So if you use Stitcher and you listen to us, it helps us. So even if you do nothing else to help us, which is fine because we don't expect you to, you know, check us out on Stitcher, share it with your friends, tweet it out, tweet it to us if you want, Tampa 2 Podcast, and, you know, we'll definitely give you a retweet as well.
For sure.
If you tweet out about us and include the name because we love to talk to you guys too. So, you know, if you like the episode, if you don't, you know, if you think that we said something wrong,
call us out. We always want to learn, you know, we're not above that.
Like earlier when I said that what defense the Jets are playing this year, because I haven't really researched it. If you know what kind of defense the Jets are playing this year, email us, tampa2podcast@gmail.com. Yeah, tweet us, tampa2podcast.
Or like, Terry, how come you didn't know who the Kings were playing or something? Yeah,
well,
had a lot of brain farts today, so.
That happened. We 2 weeks off.
I'm a little rusty, so. Anyway, we will be back next week. Again, iTunes, Stitcher, you'll find some other great podcasts on Stitcher. Email, Twitter. We want to talk with you. We want to chat. We want to get to know you. We want to take you out to dinner. Not really. But
I'm down with dinner.
Down with dinner? Okay, we'll
Buffalo
get some wings. There you go.
Okay.
We'll go get some wings. So if you want to do that, hit us up on Twitter, and we will see you next week.
Adios.
Thanks for listening to the Tampa 2 Podcast. You can get all the episodes on iTunes. Follow the Tampa 2 on Twitter and check out www.tampa2podcast.com.